Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Plus Model Radio, the number one podcast for plus-size women. I'm your host, Shanice Lewis, coming to you live from Los Angeles. Today is Monday, June 14th, 2010. If you didn't already know, I'm in Oprah's search for the next TV star competition, and I could win the opportunity to host a talk show on the Oprah Winfrey Network. But I need your help. I need you to vote for me. Go to plusmodelradio.com and click the link to watch my audition video and to vote. I need you to vote as many times as you can daily until July 3rd. And if you enjoy Plus Model Radio, you would definitely enjoy seeing me on television. So please vote and tell all of your friends to vote. And to those of you who've already voted and posted on your blogs and websites, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your support. Now, today's show is sponsored by Swimsuits for All. Just look and see how much fun swimsuit shopping can be. At swimsuitsforall.com, we make the normally grueling process a pleasure. Let one of our expert associates outfit you with an exclusive beach bell style that looks beautiful and fits great. Visit swimsuitsforall.com today. And as always, we've got a fantastic show for you this evening. Coming up later on the show are Golda Poretsky and Tracy Collins. But up first is Desiree Birch. Desiree Birch is an NYC-based comedian, MC, writer, and performer known for her work with the New York neo-futurists in Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind and for her acclaimed solo show, 52 Man Pickup, one of New York Magazine's 10 people that funny people find funny. Desiree has supplied laughter for MTV, VH1, NBC News, The New York Post, Comedy Central, Huffington Post, Caroline's, and Gotham in comedy clubs around the country and is in the upcoming feature-length documentary, I Heart New York. Desiree will be performing at the first annual Hollywood Fringe Festival for two nights only, June 19th and 20th at 8 p.m. Let's welcome Desiree to the show. Hi, Desiree, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. How
Good.
Are you?
I am fantastic. How are you doing?
Good. So you are involved in so many facets of the entertainment industry. How did you get your start?
Well, I mean, you know, I did the whole thing in high school where I did theater. I think the first play that I ever did was Our Town. So it started back in my hometown, and I went to Yale, and I did theater there. And, you know, spending time in Connecticut, I was already on the East Coast, so I just came directly out of school to New York. And, you know, when I was in school, in college, really the theater education was that, you know, you had classes that were really good and whatnot, but you got your education by going out and doing plays. So, you know, I probably did about something like 17, 18 plays while I was in school, you know, which is a lot of theater and a lot of sleeping and, you know, some going to class. And but, you know, it was really just kind of like get in there and do it. And so I kind of brought that same ethos to New York when I moved to New York and, you know, just I brought over a solo show that I'd done as my thesis project, and I was involved in another bit of Shakespeare in the park with Guerrilla Rep. And so, you know, I just started doing theater and have been working with, you know, all kinds of people in every facet of, you know, theater and performing since then. And
how,
you know,
did stand-up comedy come into the mix?
Well, I mean, I'd always known that I wanted to do it, you know, from the time when I was a kid and started watching. Like, you know, I'd see Bill Cosby himself, and I must have seen that, like, you know, a good 5 or 6 times and knew all the jokes from it. And I started watching comedy on cable, you know, but they'd have, like, Caroline's on A&E or A Night at the Improv, things like that, and you know, watching comedians do that. And it was just something that I knew that I wanted to do. I mean, I wrote, you know, in the journal, that kind of thing, but it was something that I had a knack for, and teachers were like, oh, you're a good writer, you know. So I knew that I wanted to do writing as well, and in my sophomore year of college, I started doing, like, performance art, like, you know, performance studies. Mm-hmm. So that involved a lot of writing, which was, you know, a lot of poetry and a lot of my thoughts. And I don't know, I was always a funny kid.
So it was just a natural progression.
Yeah, like, I remember being in kindergarten and entertaining, like, the first and second graders on the other side of the kindergarten fence. And they'd be like, oh, she's funny. Like, that's kind of my first memory, is, like, kids pointing at me and saying, she's funny, which, like, you know, I instantly was like, oh, like, this is my ticket, because they aren't pointing and saying, oh, she's fat. They were like, oh, she's funny. And I was like, aha. So, yeah, I think comedy was, like, kind of inbred because of that.
Now, before we get into talking about your one-woman show, I want to talk about some of the other projects you have going on first.
Yeah.
Now, you are the founder of a festival for women. So tell us a little more about that.
Yes, the Hysterical Festival for Women. Essentially, you know, women are funny and they never get as much credit as they deserve for it. I mean, you know, in modern times, we're getting a little bit more of the, you know, like the Tina Fey recognition and, you know, the women of SNL and, you know, things like that. But, you know, even still, sometimes you would, you know, I would ask people like, oh, well, you know, they would name comedians that were funny and they would all be men, and, you know, and I'd be like, okay, well, like, you know, name some women that are funny. And so many comedians that I was coming up with, a lot of them were male, you know, couldn't do it, which was kind of appalling, because I was like, I could name 50, you know, and you know, a lot of them, you know, some of them are stand-up comics, but a lot of them are, you know, comedic actresses. A lot of them are comedy writers. You know, a lot of them are producers. I mean, you know, like, you don't necessarily jump to thinking about people like Lucille Ball or Carol Burnett or Phyllis Diller or Joan Rivers or Margaret Cho or, you know, whoever, all of these various names that, like, to me, I'm just kind of like, I can rattle them off. But, like, when you think of a stand-up comedian, you think about, like, a guy at a microphone, you know, talking about, like, his wife and kids or his girlfriend or his job or, like, you know, some other random thing.
And a lot of times it's demeaning to women.
Yeah, oftentimes. I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many times, you know, myself and other female comedians I know have been, you know, at open mics and doing this and listening to some guy, like, telling, you know, rape jokes as though they're funny, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, it's not. And like, if it's not working, why do you keep telling them? But, and he's telling them to comics, and then you sit there and you're forced to laugh. I mean, men and women go in to see comedy, and I've seen women at comedy shows kind of sit there and laugh because they know they're supposed to, like, they know other people are, and they know it's supposed to be funny, but it's not necessarily funny to them. And, like, why not have a variety of comics? Because, like, not every comedian is going to speak to everybody, but they should have people who, you know, they think are funny. And a lot of times I'll do stuff, and, you know, I talk about my life, I talk about, you know, my personal life, body things, you know, sexuality, in a way that's funny and not alienating. But oftentimes it's more the women who are like, oh my God, you are so funny, like, thank you for talking about this thing and the other thing. And, like, the guys will sit there and laugh too, but, like, there's some things that are about them, so they don't get the joke yet, you know.
So is this festival still going on?
Well, the festival has been on hiatus because the festival was basically me starting it up. We did it and it was quite a fantastic thing, and then you know, I gave some assistance in helping start another Women in Comedy Festival in Boston, which is now running. So the idea is hopefully to, you know, like, merge the two forces. But it's really great to see, like, all of these different, you know, there's that in Boston, and there's ladies who, you know, Laugh, and there's another festival in Austin. I mean, these things are kind of popping up because there are quite funny women who are, you know, writers and performers and, you know, do characters or any other number of things which aren't as narrowly defined as, like, you're only funny if you do stand-up comedy.
Now, tell us about I Heart New York. It's a feature-length documentary you're in.
Yes. So, I mean, at some point, like, I guess a year and a half ago, you know, through doing some comedy things through ComedyNet, like, one of the video editors kind of passed my video off to someone he was working with, and they saw some comedy I did, and the producers of this movie, I Heart New York, wanted to follow me around. It's basically a documentary about love in New York City and all of its various stages.
So is it just you, or he's following around a lot
of
people?
No, they're following around. I mean, they did snippets of, like, you know, many people, but they were basically following around, like, four different, you know, storylines.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of them because they kind of wanted to, you know, they wanted to see love in all of its stages. So finding love, looking for love, being in love, losing love, you know. And so they followed a couple that was just getting married, and they followed someone who was, you know, like, having a baby in a couple, and they were following someone who was breaking up. And I was kind of the looking for love one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of it was, you know, they wanted to see the story of someone who was kind of like, trying to make it in New York too. So between the sort of the story arc of being a performer and doing that kind of thing and having that ambition and also wanting to marry that with personal happiness, which, you know, often the two ne'er shall meet. You know, it's often difficult to do that ambition thing and always being out and performing and also have and make time for somebody else in your life.
So when will that be out? Do you know?
Well, they're in post-production now, so I'm no longer being followed, so I have no idea where it's coming out. It's supposed to be coming out this year. The last that I checked, they were getting it ready for, I'm not sure what the next big film festival is. If it's like Sundance or if it's, no, that's already happened. It's another big film festival that they're getting it ready for. So I wish that I could tell you, but if they're listening, I want to see my movie.
So let's get into your project. Tell us about your one-woman show, 52 Man Pickup.
Yeah, so 52 Man Pickup, I've been doing for a couple of years now, and it basically, well, to explain what the show is, it's every single, like, you know, sexual encounter that I've ever had, and it is, the stories are all on the back of a deck of cards. So every single card is every single person that I've been with, and they're all, you know, I mean, and I
include everything. So 52 represents the number of men?
So 52 is a number, yes. I mean, I count everything, to be fair. In real life, yes. That is the thing about the show, is that I'm like, there's no point in me talking about fake sex, because that's what TV is for. Like, I'm here to talk about what really happens, you know, and it's you know, basically more than like, oh, this is a funny story about this and that. I mean, all of that is true, but it's really a story of me kind of coming into myself as a woman and developing a self-esteem that is connected to my physicality. You know, I think that a lot of times, especially as plus-size women, you know, there is that tendency to, you know, cover yourself, and, you know, that's the way my mom raised me. It was just like, cover yourself up, you know, and you internalize mm-hmm. that, and you have a lot of negative reactions to your body, particularly if you, you know, it may be different if you become heavier later in life, you know, but even still, there's a lot of negativity attributed to that, and, you know, a lot of just like feeling down on yourself and a lot of putting your life off until you one day magically get skinny, which, you know, like I did, as many other women have done. And, you know, at some point when I was like, I'm not going to magically get skinny if I'm unhappy and if I'm denying myself, you know, denying who and what I am, especially as a sexual being. So, you know, and it also comes from a place of many women of all sizes struggle with self-esteem in this country because it's kind of, you know, how we prey upon them to sell them products.
Right.
So you know, a lot of the kind of promiscuity comes from that kind of feeling about oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I definitely needed to kind of go through that in order to get a sense of myself and know my own value, not only as, you know, an intelligent Black woman, but also as like a sexual female with a body that is different, but that is, you know, wonderful and lovable by people. So, that was really the reason that I, you know, created the show, and it's, you know, I've performed it, you know, here in the States, in New York, and in Boston, and in the UK, you know, just like all over the place, and you know, women of different ages and different body types and different races always come and talk to me and tell me, you know, thank you so much for talking about this or this other thing, or thank you so much for saying this stuff, because you know, especially as a woman, sometimes you're not allowed to express your sexuality or talk about it, or you're not supposed to say that you enjoy it, and you're not supposed to talk about the like real things that occur. And it's, and even the men come up and talk to me and say like, wow, you know, like you're so confident and courageous, and you know, like I learned a lot, or like that was really interesting, you know. And I love seeing that, like, you know, when there are couples there, because I feel like there's like a conversation's going to happen after the show, no matter what. If you go out with people, you're going to talk about some stuff. And people come up to me like it's therapy, Shanice. Like afterwards, they're like, oh my God, I have this story about this thing. And like, I've heard so many different things from people all over the world that it's just kind of amazing. It's kind of why I continue to do it.
And so weight is not the main theme of the show, but it's just indirectly,
I mean,
throughout it, because you're a plus-size woman.
Yeah, I mean, it's in everything, because, I mean, if you are a plus-size woman, you'll look, get it. You know, I mean, it's not going to be one of the main sort of spoken themes, but it, underneath it, it's like, oh, well, you know, I talk about, you know, like how I was a virgin till I was 23. And, you know, I was born and raised Christian, so that was part of it. But really, the bigger part of it was not thinking that anybody would want me. And internalizing that and keeping myself closed off for quite some time. And then that results in, you know, as soon as the kind of lever is released, then you're kind of like, oh my God, everybody wants me. And you kind of go nuts, you know,
go crazy.
Yeah. And then you kind of have to bring yourself back to like, well, wait, what do I want? You know, like you're so kind of preoccupied with what other people think of you and where they put you and how they see you. Because as a, you know, a plus size person, you are constantly having this double consciousness of how everybody else is seeing you at all times, you know? And at a certain point you kind of have to go, well, how do I see me? Because that's really the most important thing. And that honestly changes the way that other people see you. And it, you know, usually it takes a while to develop that kind of awareness and that kind of just, you know what, like, you know, someone's got to stand up for me in this life, and I guess it's going to have to be me, you know. And then, you know, once you can kind of see that and carry yourself that way, it really changes everything. You know, it changes the way other people see you, but really it changes the way you see you and the world. So
now, is this show suitable for all ages, or this is for your audiences only?
Oh,
I'm
Lord, no.
Sure.
It is, yes. It is for 18 and over. Yeah, it is a grown-up show. Although, gosh, when I was doing it in Europe, I did it at the Edinburgh Fringe, and, you know, some of my audiences, you know, I mean, they would be, you know, the drinking age is younger and, you know, whatever, it's a little bit more lax. And a lot of my audiences were like teenagers who were coming to the show, and I was kind of like, okay. But, you know, they were kind of sitting there like, I mean, it was kind of impressive because they were like learning things. I was like sitting there with a notepad, like learning things. But especially in this country, yes, it is a show for 18 and over people. It is something that everybody can learn from and share from. And it's really a great communal experience to have. And it's funny, you know, it's funny and poetic and a good time. And it's a great way to start a night, you know.
So how do you purchase tickets for the show? Like I said, this weekend coming up, you're going to be in Los Angeles.
Yes, I am. I'm going to be in the Hollywood Fringe, and I'll be performing at Fringe Central, which is a theater of arts. It's 1625 North Las Palmas. It's both Saturday and Sunday, 8 o'clock. And if you want to buy tickets, you can go to hollywoodfringe.org and just look up 52-man pickup, and I'll be right there with my cowboy hat on, looking like a poker player. And you can go ahead and click on the link and buy tickets from there.
And then after Los Angeles, you'll be in London performing, right?
Yes, yes. I'm taking the show back to the UK because I had such a great time over there and a great response from people. Then I'm taking it to the Camden Fringe in August. So I will be performing there August 16th through 25th. And the week before, starting August 8th, I'll be doing some comedy at the Edinburgh Fringe again, in case there are any avid theater goers who are going out to Edinburgh, check me out there too.
Wow, that's so exciting. And do you have anything else coming up we should be on the lookout for?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, what don't I have coming up? Well, I'm hoping to get out to Los Angeles again because I grew up in Diamond Bar. So, you know, like I want to make connects out into the West Coast and move out there. Most of the stuff that I have coming up is over on the East Coast. I'll be performing with the New York Neo-Futurists again in July and touring the show. I'm going out to Portland in September with 52-Man Pickup, and then I'll be in New Orleans in November. So.
Right.
I'll be around, coming to a town near you.
And so tell us your official website, or is there a way to keep up with you?
Yeah. I mean, my website is DesireeBirch.com. You know, it is like in the process of becoming awesome as we speak. And also you can find me, I mean, I'm on Facebook, you know what I mean? I'm on Facebook. You can find me there. Desiree Birch is my name. I'm friends with everybody. I put fun stuff there. I'm also on Twitter, Desiree. Is my name on Twitter. And I mean, I'm not going to give out my email address. I almost did it too.
No.
So funny. No, I didn't. But yeah, definitely follow me on Twitter because I have fun, thoughtful things that come up all the time and I love to tweet to people. So yeah, if you want to follow me, there are a million ways.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm glad Erica Watson put us in touch.
Yeah, she is a phenomenal. And, you know, we were working on solo shows at a similar time. And her show, Fat Bitch, if you guys haven't seen it, is amazing. So you definitely need to see it when it comes around to you. But I am so glad that she put us in touch. And am I going to see you at the show this weekend,
yes,
Janine?
Yes, I'm coming. Coming.
Okay, when are you coming? Do you know?
Is Saturday and Sunday, so
yep.
I will have to do Sunday.
All right. Well, I will see you on Sunday. I cannot wait.
Yes, and continue success with everything.
Thank you, and the same to you.
Thank you. Enjoy
Thanks
the rest
so much.
Of your evening.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye-bye. And again, that is Desiree Birch, and make sure you check her out this weekend in Los Angeles, and then the following date is in London. So definitely keep up with her. I'm glad I was able to be exposed to who she was because she's doing some big things. Now, up next is Madeline Figueroa Jones giving us the latest scoop about the plus industry. Hi, Maddie, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Shanice. How are you?
Good. What's going on in the industry?
My goodness. everything is going on. Right now, New York City is just 2 days away from Full Figured Fashion Week.
Mm-hmm.
And so that begins this Wednesday, and it runs through Sunday. It ends with a Sunday brunch. And both Rhea Norman, our West Coast style editor, and
yes.
I are going to be in New York, and we're going to be Twittering and blogging and just kind of keeping everyone up to date and covering the events.
And congratulations to Rhea. She's Stylist of the Year.
Yes, she is Stylist of the Year, so she will be getting her award at the finale on Saturday. So we're really happy about that, and we've kind of come together with Lane Bryant today, actually. We decided to come together to put out, you know, the events as they happen, and we're actually going to be the ones covering for Lane Bryant.
Wow.
So you can look for us and our coverage on their Inside Curve website. And
awesome.
That's on www.insidecurve.lanebryant.com. We're also working with Swimsuits for All. I know you've all seen the ads and seen the Facebook and the Twitter stuff, but everything is going really well with Swimsuits for All. They have fantastic sales on their swimsuits. They have swimsuits for everyone, every body shape. And I think that what I love the most is the fact that they love using bigger girls with their images. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're not just out to use the size 12 and 14. They're out using size 18 and 16 girls. you know, which is completely unheard of sometimes, especially when it comes to swimsuits, and big kudos to Swimsuits for All for that.
Definitely.
But right now they're giving a $100 gift card to one winner every week, and that's going to run through August 24th, and then one lucky person will get a $1,000 American Express card, and that will be announced in the September issue of Plus. And we're also looking forward to the Curvy Revolution next year, February. I know it seems like we're just planning so far ahead, but we need to get our tickets in order, get them early. I'm going to actually be a judge at the Miss Curve competition, and I'm really, really excited about that. And, you know, that's pretty much it. We're just, you know, I'm just coming back 2 weeks now from the Lane Bryant Blogger Conference,
mm-hmm.
and that was really, really nice. We had such a great time. I met such amazing ladies. I can't wait for you to meet them, Shanice. I'm going to try to do something so that the ones that are not from New York, you know, we can all get together again,
okay.
because I think they would. I think our staff would absolutely adore these girls, like the ones that we don't know. I mean, Marie Denier was there,
mm-hmm.
Addison Plus is there. You know, girls that we know. But there are some really, really nice women out there that are.
And
really
then you're
gonna
have a
women.
Video coming up on their Lane Bryant site soon.
I know. I can't wait to see it. I haven't seen it, so I'll get to see it with everybody else.
Well, good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yep, so just follow us on Twitter. We're at Plus Model Mag, and on Facebook on our fan page, and that's also facebook.com/plusmodelmag.
Well, thank you. And
you're very welcome.
Definitely tell us all about Full Figure Fashion Week.
I sure will, definitely. Have a
good
night.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Now, up next on this show is Tracy Collins. Tracy Collins is a plus-size model, actress, writer, and executive producer. And in February 2010, Tracy presented Kiss the Curves, the first ever plus-size fashion gala in the Bay Area that showcased some of the top plus-size designers in the industry. As the executive producer of the event, Tracy's mission was to bring positive awareness to the plus-size community and show mainstream outlets that fashion is not limited because of your dress size. Along with working on the details for Kiss the Curves 2011, she is working out details to be a part of a reality show with TLC, The Learning Channel, finalizing a script for her own movie production, and gearing up for the release of her book, Bedtime Stories, a series of 16 short adult stories, which goes into production in 2010. Tracy Collins is proving her ability to be a multifaceted mogul and a household name, one dream at a time. And let's welcome Tracy to the show. Hi, Tracy.
That was so great. It made me sound, oh, my goodness. I was like, wow.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me, how did you get your start in the industry?
You know, it's funny. I come from a different perspective. I started out wanting to model, actually,
mm-hmm.
and I've always been artistic. I've always been creative. I'm an actress, and writing is something that I actually stumbled upon, too. And trying to break into the business is from the fashion side as a model, I experienced a lot of rejection from the big modeling agencies. I won't name them, but we all know who they are. And I'm one of those girls who are in between. I'm not small, but some don't necessarily consider me plus, so I was receiving rejection on both ends.
Okay.
So I just said, forget it, I'll just do my own show. And that is how Kiss happened.
So because of the area you live in, did you have struggles getting your career started due to a lack of opportunities in the area?
No, actually, here in San Francisco and L.A., I go to L.A. probably about every other month now. I try to make it a point to go down to Los Angeles, but I also travel. So I've been to agencies from here, from San Francisco to Los Angeles to Chicago.
So you really were after it.
Yeah, I was after it and just told no.
Hmm. So from those experiences, you decided to create your own event. Now tell us about Kiss the Curves.
Kiss the Curves is the first full-figure fashion runway show here in the Bay Area. And myself and my production team, we created it literally from October to February. And I was so fortunate to come up with the production team that I had. They were so dedicated to the mission of KISS, because KISS, I guess that you can say it was about a movement and presenting beautiful women of all shapes and sizes. One of the things that makes my show a little bit different from everyone else's is I don't have any requirements. The only requirement I have is be a size 12 through 28. Mm-hmm. Whatever your height is, however God created your body is how God created your body, and I'm not here to judge that. You just have to have presence and personality and be able to deliver it on the runway in confidence, mm-hmm. and be comfortable and confident in whatever the skin it is that you're in. And we created KISS, and it was such a success, and I'm so humbled by the reception that we received from the write-ups in the newspaper to, you know, people. I mean, still to this day I get contacted about being in the next show, from modeling to you know, if you do any commercials or posters or any advertising, Tracy, I want to be involved. So I've been very, very fortunate with the national and international reception that this has received.
So since this was the first plus-size show in the Bay Area, what was the response and feedback you got from the general public? Because this was something different for the city. Did they embrace this idea of a plus-size show?
They loved it, Shanice. They loved it. It was standing room only before the show even began.
Wow.
And, I mean, they were like, Tracy, this is what Oakland needed. My girl size is 28, got the loudest applause. It was
wow.
So well received. The men were snapping pictures with cell phones and cameras. it was the bomb, and I'm just so proud of my ladies who modeled. We had some of the best talent here in California, because women traveled from, you know, from the Bay down to Southern California to be a part of the show. So I was really proud of my girls. I was, you know, proud of the production team. It was just the reception that we received. It's like, okay, Tracy, you did this in 4 months. You need to do it again. There's no reason why we need to wait till 2011.
They're ready to go already.
They're ready to go.
So what can we expect from Kiss the Curves in 2011?
Well, 2011 is actually going to be a big year for Kiss. It is not only going to be in Los Angeles next year.
It is.
It is. Hey, L.A., we coming. So it's going to be in Los Angeles next year, and it's also going to be in the Caribbean.
Oh, so you're going to do more than one production next year.
I am. I'm doing more than one production, because before the show even ended, my publicist, Renee, was receiving, how do we get this here in the Caribbean? How do we get it here? So that was, you know, you don't have to tell me nothing but once, and I can just make it happen. So I was like, that's a great idea. I want to be able to showcase island designers and my island full-figure girls. So it's definitely.
So do you have a background from the islands, or
the details are to be, you know.
No, but I'm saying just where you are, your family and your.
No, well, my dad is from the Bahamas.
Okay.
Other than that, it's, you know, we have a couple of islands that we're looking at the moment, and you know, so we'll see. You know, the details are coming shortly, but we are excited to have both in Los Angeles and in the Caribbean.
So are you casting for models in those areas?
I am.
And how can our listeners apply?
And for Kiss the Curves here in the States on the West Coast, it is going to be two open calls. It is going to be one here in San Francisco, and it's going to be in Los Angeles. And for the Caribbean Kiss, I'm going to fly out to the Caribbean, and I'm going to have my open calls. I'm going to select the girls from the States myself, and it's going to be probably five of my models that I've already pre-selected, and then they're going to come over, and then the rest are going to be island girls.
Okay.
And we're going to have all the details on the kissthecurves.com website. You'll be able to follow it on Facebook, Kiss the Curves page. I mean, we're just going to be, you know, beginning to push all of the info out there. And it's also going to be to where people who choose it, let's just say if you're on the East Coast, if you choose to go to the Caribbean event instead of coming here on the West Coast, it's going to be a one-stop shop. You'll be able to go to the website, purchase your ticket, and go through an agency. I mean, it's going to be a one-stop shop to make it as easy for my audience as possible.
Well, that sounds exciting. So besides producing fashion shows, you have a couple of things going on with you. Your bio says you are finalizing a script for your own movie production. So how is that going?
It's going well. One of the things I tell people is that writing, it just gives you so much power in your creativity. When you write something, when you create, it gives you the opportunity to say yes or no to anybody because it's yours and you own it. And I'm writing a movie, and it's going great. And movie is a different process from writing a book. So I'm learning as I go, but fortunately, I've had people who are waiting to read it and who are in the industry, so I'm looking forward to getting the treatment, which is a synopsis of the movie, in their hands. So mm-hmm. That's going well.
Okay, well, that's definitely exciting news. And you also have a book coming out called Bedtime Stories. Now tell us more about that.
Well, see, Bedtime Stories, now the title is self-explanatory. And
so that's a grown-up book.
It's a grown-up book, honey. It's a grown-up book. And I loved it. I love Bedtime Stories. And it is a series of 16 short stories. And it is erotica. That is what I write in reference to the book, not the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I just wanted something to read at night, to my partner. And there wasn't none out there. I was like, wait a minute. I just needed something that related to me. And so I sat down and I wrote a book. I didn't think that, I thought I was just going to write a story, and I ended up coming up 16 short stories later and I have a book. So I'm very fortunate to be able to sit and read this and write it and create it and then to begin to see it go through its process of editing and getting to the publishing stage. And then, of course, we want it on the shelves.
So do you have a release date for that yet, or we just have to stay looking for more details?
Stay tuned. You have to stay tuned. But I promise, with TracyCollins.com, that website is going to be up, and we're going to have all of the details. And I'm also going to have a link from the Kiss the Curve site onto my personal site.
Now, do you have anything else coming up we should be on the lookout for?
Shanice, you made me sound so great. I was like, wow, that's me. let me see. The latter part of last week, I was approached about doing a TV pilot, which kind of, was a surprise. And so we are
that's
in the
TLC thing?
Correct.
Okay.
It is. A production company approached me, and it was, things in the industry, they take a process, and sometimes they go through and sometimes they don't. It's
right,
in the very
right.
beginning stages. It's in the development stages. But I'm excited about it. They're excited about having me involved in on it, and with the runway shows and everything that I do he liked my look, the fact that I, cut all my hair off and I'm able to just be me and you see me and I'm, I'm a full-figured girl. So he liked everything about me and is excited to bring me aboard in this process. So we are eagerly waiting and anticipating what's going to happen with this production.
Well, awesome. Sounds like you got a lot of exciting things in the works. And tell us your official website so we can keep up with everything you got going on.
Right now, the way to keep up with everything that I have going on is Facebook.
Okay.
If I don't post anything, Renee, my publicist from R Media Group, she definitely posts stuff about me. We're going to get the TracyCollins.com site up and going, and Kiss the Curves is always going to have up-to-date Kiss the Curves information about it.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and definitely keep me posted on the Los Angeles details.
Yes, we're looking so forward to Kiss the Curves Fashion Week. It's Hollywood Fashion Week, actually. So we are looking forward to it because, I'm just intertwining my worlds, actually. So
well,
we'll keep you posted.
Definitely. Well, thanks again for being on the show and continued success.
Thank you, Shanice. You too.
Okay, enjoy the rest of your evening.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And today's show is sponsored by Swimsuits for All. Fit plus fashion equals finally. Beach Bell swimwear exclusively at swimsuitsforall.com is designed for the curvy woman who won't compromise on style or fit. Outfit yourself for the summer in swim styles that look great and feel great. Our expert staff is waiting for your call. Visit swimsuitsforall.com today. And right now we're going to hear from one of our contributors, Sage. Let's see if Sage is on the line.
Hello.
Hey, Sage, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing tonight?
Good. So do you have a question for us?
I do. I have a Myra in New York who asked if I have a secret or a recommendation to keeping your eyes open during shoots. She was talking about looking at the monitor and seeing a lot of eyes closed, the camera catching her with her eyes closed.
Mm.
And I thought this was a really good question because I think it's something a lot of people struggle with, and there are techniques to overcoming this. I think, first of all, if you can get in sync with the photographer and listen to even the clicks of the camera, if you're not always looking into the camera. But another aspect, obviously, is the flash, which makes it harder to keep your eyes open and not squint even. And and that's almost even harder. There was a time when I actually went and got contacts that were supposed to block the UV rays or something.
Oh, really?
And I had to get a prescription and everything. And because I was so desperate to keep my eyes as open as possible as well, because on location with a flash in the bright sunlight, it was
your
problem.
Your natural reaction is to squint.
Yes, yes, it really is. And that didn't work at all. Unfortunately, I learned that for sure when I was in South Africa on a white sand beach with the ring light.
Mm-hmm.
And on the hour drive back to the hotel, I took them out of my eyes and threw them out the window.
It didn't help
at all. But I finally discovered the secret.
Uh-oh,
and
what is it?
The secret is this. What you do, and I was so upset no one told me this sooner, was you focus for something, the darkest thing you can find in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the photographer is wearing a black sweater, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And right before they take the picture, then go to the camera.
And you
with
won't
your
wait.
With your eyes.
Wow.
It's like change your focus. Go to the darkest thing you can find and then go to the camera. Like in between shots if you're really trying to keep your eyes open.
Wow, I didn't know that myself.
That. It is a lifesaver.
And so now you don't have that problem with photo shoots.
No, I don't. And I know it's a more intricate detail, but when she asked this, it really made me think of that. And it was something I didn't learn. It's like 8 years into it or something.
Wow.
So
this
is a very valuable technique.
And it's way cheaper than buying some special contacts.
Oh, they didn't work. They didn't work. It was all a mistake. Yeah, it didn't work. So this is a lifesaver. I highly recommend it. Yeah. So
well,
try it out. And you're right. And it's cost nothing.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that was awesome. Well,
thank you
for the question. And if anybody else has modeling questions for you, how do they get them to you?
Please go to my Facebook page. It's Sage Salzer Model. But I also wanted to let everybody know that the Curves for Change Facebook fan page is up.
Oh.
And I'm going to be the official blogger, but we're going to have some other models from the Wilhelmina site do special things. Like we're going to have Leona as the official writer.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Erin Henry as the official nutritionist. And we're really hoping everybody will come out to New York in the fall for the 5K walk run to raise money for Hardy Girls Healthy Women and the Chimera Project. So please find us on Facebook and fan us, because we just started. It's Curves for Change.
And we'll definitely keep the latest details.
Please email me your questions, because I look forward to answering them. We need some new models on the we do. we need some new faces.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much. That was awesome advice.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good night, Sage.
Thank you, Shanice. You're awesome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And last but definitely not least is Golda Poreski. She is a certified holistic health counselor and founder of Body Love Wellness, a wellness company that provides individual and group counseling from a health at every size perspective. Via her blog, podcast, and counseling programs, she helps women and men throughout the country to get off of that dieting roller coaster, give their bodies what they really crave, and love their bodies and themselves. Golda's programs and activism work has been featured on CBS's The Early Show, ABC's Nightline, NBC's LX New York, and Time Out New York. Let's welcome to the show Golda.
Hi, Sneeze.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Well, welcome back to the show, because you were on the show in 2009, and it's almost been a year since you've on, and you've done so much in that time.
Thank you. I know. It's good to be back on. I'm really glad to be talking to you again and listening in to the fabulous women that you have on before me, too. It was just great. I'm so excited to check out their stuff, you know.
Definitely. Since you've been on, you've made a lot of television appearances representing the plus-size community. So tell us about some of the recent opportunities you've had and some of the issues you were able to speak about in the media.
Yeah, I was contacted. I'm a member of NAFA, the National Association for the Advancement of Fat Acceptance, and they had contacted me to do some appearances in New York to talk about the whole Kevin Smith debacle, which was basically Kevin Smith was kicked off an airplane, a Southwest airplane, because they decided he was, you know, too fat to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And so they needed someone to represent represent our side of the discussion, which was basically that this is, you know, an unfair practice. It's not fairly applied, and people are getting kicked off airplanes for their size, you know, and it creates a lot of issues. It really creates a lot of problems in terms of, you know, air travel I don't think is fun for anybody. And,
right.
You know, you think you get on a plane and you think you're going to, you know, you're going to go on vacation, you're going to make it to a meeting, you're going to go home finally from wherever you've been, and then you get kicked off the plane. And, you know, and then you're stuck, and it's embarrassing, and it's really unfair, too. So, yeah, I was on The Early Show and Nightline, and I did a debate on Nightline, it was a great experience for me to get to be an advocate for people really of all shapes and sizes to say,
right.
You know, this is not a fair practice.
Right. And so you got a lot of exposure for Body Love Wellness. Well, tell us what that is.
Well, it's my counseling practice where I work with people from a health at every size perspective, which basically means if someone is having issues with emotional eating, if someone's having physical concerns where they need someone to talk to about nutrition, if someone's having issues with body image and not feeling good about themselves, they can come to me and I deal with their issues in a completely non-judgmental way. You know, a lot of the time you'll go to somebody for help and they say, well, if you lose 10 pounds, you know, your knee won't hurt or this won't be an issue anymore, you know, or they could say 10 or 20 pounds or 50 pounds, you know, and it's not really accurate and it's not really fair. So I really help people from the perspective of you don't need to go on another diet, you know, and we can work together to have you eating the most healthy way possible, exercising in a way that's really appropriate for your body and feels good, and also accepting yourself and loving your body and feeling appreciative and happy whatever size you are, so that, you know, you don't have this constant stress of feeling bad about yourself and feeling like dieting is the only answer when it, you know, it's really not the answer, as many people find out over time.
And tell us about the different programs you have with Body Love Wellness.
Well, right, I do free teleclasses here and there just to introduce people to different concepts and my approach to how I do this work. And I've also had some in-person classes here in New York. Most of my work is really one-to-one counseling. So my programs are usually either 3 months or 6 months, and, you know, we talk twice a month, and, you know, you get a lot of support in between the sessions, and that's really most of my work. However, I will be starting something, I think, in the fall, which is going to be sort of a group program that's over the phone so people can call in from wherever they are. And it's going to have an online component where, you know, you really feel like you're part of a community and get that kind of support. I'm working on figuring out the details of that. And so I'm hoping to sort of launch that very shortly.
And your website states that you provide nutritional and lifestyle advice from a health at every size perspective. Now, for those not familiar with that concept, tell us what health at every size means.
Well, health at every size really means that, first of all, you look at the whole person and you look at where they're coming from, and you have a non-judgmental type of approach. And it's really a three-part sort of theory, in that you help the person learn how to eat intuitively, and that means connecting with their sense of hunger and fullness, understanding their cravings, healing from emotional eating and compulsive eating. So there's that eating component, and then there's also a fitness sort of component where you meet the person where they are. So if someone's really sedentary, you know, maybe you work with them to walk 5 minutes a day and then maybe a little more, you know. But it's not the kind of thing like you see on The Biggest Loser, where you take someone who's really sedentary maybe and you, you know, make them work out for 3 hours a day. You know, that's really antithetical to what I do. You know, I like to help the person work with exercise in a way that's really appropriate for them wherever they are. And then that third component, so you have the food component, the exercise, fitness component, and then the third component is healing from body image issues and helping the person really feel good in their own skin. And I find it's very interesting because sometimes people view that as sort of the least important, but to me that's actually the most important, because I find that when people really start loving and appreciating their bodies, the other things sort of fall into place in a different way. Because when you can really be kind to yourself and nurturing and loving towards yourself, it's easier to listen to your needs in terms of hunger and fullness. And it's easier to say, okay, I'm going to exercise a little bit because it feels good, rather than coming from the place of, I've got to do this because I'm fat, or I've got to stop eating because I shouldn't be eating, or whatever it is. You know, you come to a place of, yeah, listening to your body. And that's why I called my business Body Love Wellness. Yeah.
And speaking of The Biggest Loser, you have on your blog an exclusive interview with the contestant that was on the show. Now tell us a little bit about that blog.
Yeah, I've been writing the blog for, I guess, about 2 years or more. But I write a weekly blog, and it's also on More of Me to Love. MoreofMeToLove.com is a really lovely website, and I write for them too. And so every Monday I post something, and it's usually, you know, I try to make it interesting and to have like a tip at the end, something you can try to, you know, to feel good. And, you know, I've written about The Biggest Loser and how I felt like it really distorted people's images of bigger people, and how it seems like they really treat their contestants really horribly. And I had read that NBC will sue contestants, and they have a right in their contract to sue them for between $100,000 and $1 million for speaking to the press without approval. And I just thought that was nuts. So I wrote about it. And then this woman, Kai Hibbert, who is a finalist on season 3, emailed me, and I just did not expect that to happen. And she, you know, said, I really love your post and I love to talk to you. So we set up an interview, and I recorded it with her permission. And
was she
not scared
of being sued?
This is the thing. I asked her about that, and I said, how are you able to speak out? You know, how are you doing this? And she just said, look, first of all, she said, they can't get blood from a stone. I'm not a millionaire, so I'm not that afraid of, they can sue me for $1 million. What are they going to really get from me? But she was also saying, I just feel like I have to speak the truth. I just feel like by being on that show, I am now part of the problem, in a sense. I'm part of the problem, and I want to be part of the solution. Mm. And so she's being incredibly brave to speak out. It was amazing to hear her speak. She's very eloquent, and she really talked about what it was like to be on The Biggest Loser, how they learned to dehydrate before the show, about like the physical and mental abuse of it and all this stuff. And I just, and I kind of sat on it for a while. I didn't know how to present it, and I didn't know how to put it out there. And I'm not a journalist, but I decided that it was really important to get this out there. And it just seemed like good timing. I read a post by the woman who writes the Fashionista blog about Leslie Kinzel, about how Jillian Michaels has this new show. And I just was like, I want to put this out there, because it's like this snowball effect. It's like The Biggest Loser. It's just, they make season after season. And I think it's just terrible. I think it's really horrifying. And now there's a spinoff show, and I was like, all right, I've got to write this up and get this out there. So
yeah,
I did, and
they go to
extremes
for entertainment's sake to make a good show.
Yeah, and I think it's just, it gives this bad impression. First of all, I think it gives a bad impression of fat people that it's okay to yell and scream at them, and it's all supposedly going to make them healthy, and it's the opposite of health. I mean, they're on these diets, and they're working out like crazy people, and they're dehydrating themselves. And then when they get off the ranch, if they're a finalist, they get all this pressure. And, in Kai's case, she really ended up with an eating disorder from this. And I can't imagine that her story is unique, because when you hear about how she was treated, I'm sure that there are other people struggling with this. So it just upsets me that it's considered a show that makes people healthy, when it seems like the opposite. And it's such a highly watched show. So I felt like I needed to get this message out too.
Right. Now, besides your blog, do you have anything else coming up we can be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I'm part of, I'm going to be on the panel, the Curvy Community panel, or the State of the Curvy Community panel at Full Figure Fashion Week on Friday, June 18th. So I know if you want to get tickets to that, you can go to fffweek.com. And I have another free teleclass coming up, and that's June 24th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And I'm actually going to be interviewed by, it's going to be sort of an interview style with this woman who's a shamanist. She's very interesting. So I think it'll be a really interesting class. And people can register for that if they just go to my site, which is bodylovewellness.com.
Now, are the telecast classes free, or is it a charge involved?
No, it's free. I mean, it's you just have to pay for the phone call, but it actually can Skype in too, so you don't even have to pay for that. So the teleclass is free, and I also recommend just going to my site and checking it out. And if you're interested in what I'm talking about, if you join the newsletter, that's a good place to go, because then when I have more events coming up and things like that, they can stay on the lookout. And actually, one more thing, I forgot to mention this. I have a book coming out called Stop Dieting Now, 25 Reasons to Stop, 25 Ways to Heal. And that's going to be out at the end of July. It's going to be available on Barnes & Noble and Amazon and all those places. And it's going to be really, really helpful for anyone who wants to get off dieting and is just struggling with how to do it and why it's a good idea. And that's all really clear in the book. So I really recommend that. And just be on the lookout for that in July, end of July.
That's exciting. And tell us your official website again.
Yes, it's bodylovewellness.com, and that's bodylovewellness.com. I'm also on Facebook. Just look up Body Love Wellness, and I'm on Twitter, at Body Love Wellness, but leave off the last S because it doesn't fit in the name. So, you know, and I love getting tweets. I love getting messages. I love really interacting with people about this stuff because it's, you know, very meaningful for me, and I know it's very meaningful for a lot of people.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I definitely look forward to seeing your book and all the exciting things you have coming up. And I'm definitely a fan of your blog. As a matter of fact, this week I added your blog to my blog roll because I definitely think you have some exciting and inspiring things that you put out. So I definitely support
for that.
Your work.
Thank you for that. And I can't wait to see you on TV. You know, I'm just waiting for that. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you
You're
so
welcome.
Much. And enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you, you too. Take care.
Bye-bye. And thank you to all of our fabulous guests this evening. And don't forget to vote for me in Oprah's search for the next TV star competition. You can find the link on the radio website and my personal website at ShaniceLewis.com. Please view my audition and vote as many times as you can daily until July 3rd. And tune in next time, and we'll have more Plus Industry professionals with stories to not only inspire you, but to keep you connected with the Curvy community. If you're interested in advertising on our show or being a guest, visit the website at plusmodelradio.com. And if you haven't already, don't forget to join our fan page on Facebook at facebook.com/plusmodelradio. I've been your host this evening, Shanice Lewis. Thank you for tuning in and supporting Plus Model Radio. Until next time, keep thriving in your curves and be blessed.